Let's get started again, if you would, please.
Yeah.
My goal is to get us all out of here by 6. I have about 25 slides, so I'm hoping we're done with some more time for questions. Okay. And again, interrupt me if you have questions, because this is the third half of the short course on local planning. We're going to talk about roles in planning, and feel free to be a little more interactive. We're going to talk types of land use decisions, so we're going to reinforce some of the information we need locally, and then just some tips for planning commissions. I'm sure you've got it all in hand, but we'd like to share those. So let's first talk about the roles in planning. There's elected officials at the top, planning commissioners, staff, and we'll get through other players in the process. So starting with elected officials, and these all have different specific roles. The elected officials are the key leaders. They're the ones who ran for election, whereas we were appointed at this table, and have specific responsibility for budget, for setting direction, for making decisions for the community. They make those final decisions on funding, and they communicate their vision. This is the vision for our community, for you to do the work. So the Planning Commission was created because planning commissions should be making those recommendations on the community, but out of the arena of the elected officials. So in Kitsap County, you're planning under the Planning Enabling Act, which provides structure for planning, and they chose to establish a planning department to which the Planning Commission provides recommendations. So you're providing recommendations to the planning department and the staff and the elected officials. Under the statute, the DCD, the Development Department, is then tasked with taking the planning recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners along with its own recommendation. So you can there's the Planning Enabling Act or the Planning Commission Act. So Kitsap County is planning under the Planning Enabling Act. And there's a little bit of information and a link to the statute in that booklet. Commission, you are the guardians of the comprehensive plan. You have a newly updated plan. Hopefully it includes your recommendations and your best advice. This is your vision for the county. And you know the code. You know what the intent was to move forward to implement the vision in the comprehensive plan. And your job is to look at things as they come forward with the eye to what's come behind, what's planned now, and where the community wants to be in the front, wants to be in the future. It's your recommendations and your voice based on professional opinion, what you've heard from the community. Do you make quasi-judicial decisions? Are there...
Just on site-specific...
Results.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are legislative, I believe, and the remnants of quasi-judicial were rezones, and those were changed over to the hearing examiner some time ago. So those distinctions have been made, I think, back on.
That's great. That makes what we're doing here much more simple, because there is a page in here called Appearance of Fairness Doctrine, which does not apply to you. So, when you see it, that's on page 17. So that means if you were to be evaluating a specific proposal in front of you, and someone approached you and said, hey, you want to talk about this specific action, you'd be like, I can't talk to you individually, you need to go to the board and talk to everybody all at once. So, if you're not doing quasi-judicial, you don't have to worry about it. Your job is early and often for public involvement. So the planning staff is right. You have your planning staff right here, but it's not just the planners that support you. It's the hearings examiner that takes on the quasi-judicial decisions, meaning evaluates a proposal based on the zoning and the code and makes a decision. Planning staff, they review proposals. They prepare staff reports with good recommendations for you. They manage the process. They keep records of public 10 of testimony. They prepare the findings, which provide the rationale for your decision. Your staff are the hands and the eyes for all the work that you do here. And staff across the hall, they implement these adopted policies and regulations every time they process a permit application. It's the result of what the plan says, how the regulation is written, that each permit is processed. And they also do code enforcement, which means if the code says a certain thing and a property owner is doing something that's not consistent with the code, then they go out and provide the letter and whatever sort of fine or enforcement happens here in Kensington. Anything you want to add to staff on your job?
We work 24/7.
Eyes and ears from all of Kitsap County. So we already talked about the hearings examiner, and it's strongly recommended from Commerce and from those insurance pools that cities and counties use a hearings examiner for quasi-judicial decisions, because it frees your time up to do the long-range planning, and it vastly reduces the liability involved. Because if this appearance of fairness doctrine is not followed, it can invalidate the action, you can be sued. It just makes it much more complicated. So the fact that you use a hearings examiner, it greatly makes everybody's lives more easy. And so there are other, advisory groups in Kitsap County that inform commissioners that they make recommendations, and some of them are ad hoc. The Planning Commission you have your own statute, but these also provide information into making decisions at the local level. We're in the Walking and Bicycle Advisory Committee in Olympia. We had a place on the roster, but we really had very little power. We made recommendations. You have much more power. And the general public is an important part of your work here at this table. You, early and often, the GMA says that if public participation is essential. It is a key to do your work, that the public should be involved, should be allowed to participate. In fact, every one of your meetings is an open public meeting. The points that your Shelley Knick wanted to drive home is that open public meetings means the agenda is available 24 hours ahead of time. People know what's on the agenda. And if it's a regular meeting, you can change your agenda around like we did tonight. If it's a special meeting, you can't act on any topics, except those that are on the agenda. That your meetings here are in the public realm, and that you can't discuss business on email. You guys know that, right? So if you reply all, is it a meeting? Yes. What about if you all take a field trip together? Is that a meeting? Yeah, it is a meeting. So the recommendation is, if in doubt, notice it as a meeting. So if you're taking a field trip to view sites, everybody gets to be invited and to stay away from email. I understand that you all have email issued by Kitsap County?
Yes.
Good. That's very good, because that helps with public records.
No way.
So if you are receiving email from Kitsap County on Kitsap Business or from the public on Kitsap Business, all that email will be recorded on their servers, and your device won't be subject to search. So it's in your best interest to keep those email accounts separate from your personal life, because there's nothing on my computer that people can't see, but you probably just want to keep your own devices private. As far as open public meetings, all discussions must take place within the context of a meeting. And what about a series of small meetings? What if you met with them, and then you met with those three? Is that a meeting? It's called a serial meeting. So it means that you've all just met separately, but you've met on the same topic, and it's more than a quorum. So you need to keep your business here. You need to, less than a quorum, one or two talking is okay, but meetings where the public can't see what discussion is taking place is not consistent with the Open Public Meetings Act. I think Shelley will go into that when you come back. The fines used to be $100. $100. But they changed that last year. It's now $500 for the first offense and $1,000 for every knowing offense after that. And those are civil penalties. So those are on individuals.
So how does the City of Port Orchard's council get away with having breakfasts and meeting together? And it's been an ongoing battle down there without noticing that meeting. Just saying, well, everybody knows we meet and talk about business at breakfast.
I can speak to that. They stopped doing that about a year ago with the new mayor. So I think they recognized it was an issue. And now they've gotten the other direction.
Oh, that's right. Different. You're on the council, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh. So what did you order?
I haven't been to one of them. I've gone the other direction. And if they feel like there's any threat of an Open Public Meeting Act violation, they notice it.
Well, that's good.
Okay. So if we're all going out to Denny's after, that's a public meeting. That's a meeting, and it wouldn't be allowed. Or if we're all meeting in the parking lot, and we're all talking. So you're going to see that on the video you're going to watch this week, right? You're going to watch the video this week?
So if we talk about baseball, that's okay.
Well, except if a bunch of people see you talking about baseball and they think you're talking about county business. Even the appearance. So I recommend you do your homework and read the video. Watch the video.
I'll never stop you talking.
But the RCW does allow for exemptions for Christmas parties and those kind of things where business is not expected to occur.
It's true. It's still tricky territory. So if there's a retirement celebration, everybody's going to be there. The recommendation is that you be very aware of the perception about a public meeting. You're allowed to travel together. Just saying.
You don't have the whole public in there in your car for the car pools somewhere.
That's tricky territory. Okay, so let's talk about more aspects of the public. The business community can be a great help for you if you're thinking about a regulation and how it would apply to developers. Having their experience telling you how that would impact their business model could be very valuable to you. And the media can be a direct link to the community and telling them what you're up to, informing them about public events where you want to hear their feedback, getting the message out so that they can provide comment. So here's where we talked about the types of decisions. Legislative means the long-range planning decisions, making the rules. Quasi-judicial is when they act as a judge. You guys don't do that, so you don't need to worry about it. And then administrative is the third type, which is called current planning, or basically applying the rules where staff has the authority to issue permits. So the typical steps in the legislative process means there's an amendment to a plan or regulation proposed, that there's professional review by staff. Generally, this is what the statute says, this is what Earth Management WAC says about how we do this and why we do it. Here's staff also look at, maybe they look at other communities, what they've done, how they've treated certain issues, the case law related to it, so that you can make an informed decision. Then there'll be public involvement, so invited to your meeting to provide testimony on your consideration. Then the Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the elected officials. And the elected officials, they may review it. They can do another public hearing. If it's a project, there's rules around project called regulatory reform. No, only one public hearing. But this one, it's legislative, so as many public hearings as you want to get to that decision. And then the council does not have to take your recommendation. They can choose to do something else. So, good work. Thanks. But we have to worry about these other things. So we're going to make this happy day recommendation.
So the Planning Commission is actually making a recommendation to the...
To staff, right.
As opposed to elected officials directly.
They right.
But if the board decides to make a decision that is far removed from anything the Planning Commission looked at, then they've got to go back through the process. Or
in your rules?
Well, my understanding is then you've gone outside the bookends of what was considered by the Planning Commission. SEPA, for example, may not have been done.
Well,
commerce noticing may have been inaccurate, so they've got to refeed that loop.
It's for SEPA and notice to commerce. So for SEPA, you only look at a certain number of impacts. For commerce, you have to provide us a notice of your intent to adopt something. But you don't, and if it changes dramatically, you have to provide us, we recommend that you tell us what that is and provide us with a change. But those are the things that might bound that decision. And then council or your commission would adopt that legislative change, and it can be appealed to the hearings board within 60 days. But it can only be appealed by people who have standing, meaning that they participated in the process, that they were on the record, that they wrote a letter with their comments. So I'm going to skip this one because we've already talked about it. I'm talking about tips for effective planning processes. So if you are a member of the public, participating in this takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of commitment. And your job is to stay informed, to know what's going on, to get on the email notification list. We welcome public engagement because it helps make wiser decisions. So the public is a citizen, not a pest to the process. You're invited to attend meetings, write letters, send emails, to engage, to inform the process. Signing petition is not the same as being there. When you are holding a public hearing, you're looking out at a bunch of people. It has a more of an impact than a series of letters. That said, you're making a recommendation on the guidance in the code and not just how many people are saying a certain thing. The fundamental choices are made at the time of planning. So if people are appealing a project decision, the way the GMA is supposed to work is that if it's consistent with the comp plan and the code, the project should be permitted. Whereas is it meant to stop people appealing the process at the last minute, saying, no, this project shouldn't go ahead because we don't like it. Well, it's already consistent with the code and it's in the comprehensive plan. So when you are you hold public hearings? Mm-hmm. So how many of these tips look good? So if people are talking and their voice is shaking, you're going to understand they're nervous and they may have not come before a group before. Be patient with them. Some people are very angry or challenging, in which case you can set time limits on how long people speak to get you through the process. And when you're talking amongst each other, you may not agree with each other all the time, but it's working together to understand each other and coming to a common understanding. Doesn't mean there's consensus every time. It means the majority can work towards a recommendation. So, if you're managing a public hearing, you can't ask people to sign in. You can't ask people to sign in just to attend a meeting. But if they want to speak at a public, then you can ask them to sign in. You can ask people to speak to you and not to the audience. You don't want any grandstanding. Chair, you can say, please address the Planning Commission. You can say, we don't want an applause here. That's not appropriate. We're making a decision. You can control the process. And establish time limits to say those speaking for can speak now and those against over here just to organize so you won't be here all night. Logical groupings. So when you're evaluating a recommendation, you need to have a strong record of why you're proposing that recommendation so that staff can forward that recommendation to council based on your rationale. Gives them a much stronger staff report to move forward. So you can determine your position as a planning commission and move forward that motion, and the staff can provide the findings as we talked about. And then you probably have your own process going forward, but it's the point is that you work together, you listen to each other, you have a strong rationale for making a recommendation. So the record is what the staff needs. There's the application or for making a change to the legislate to comp plan and regulations, a CEPA documentation on what happened, and often it's for comprehensive planning, we say it's a non-project action. But you still should look at what the environmental impacts are. If your rezoning is going to have environmental impacts, if you're intensifying the zone. You need a staff report and the facts, local policies, and the decision criteria that you are using to make your decision. And if there's a hearing, you need that information and those findings that staff prepare. So here's some tips for an effective planning commission. Do you make an annual work plan? Not so much.
You know, I guess we didn't. You know, typically we kind of get briefed on what the document is for the upcoming years. I guess we do rely upon staff typically for that.
So that's your work plan with the docket.
This year. Yes, typically there would be an annual work plan for the commission that would include the docket.
So that lets.
They may have other information associated, but it didn't happen for 2017 in a formal way.
With 16 being the review year,
right.
I think our plan was to take as many deep breaths as possible.
Good plan. Do you have ground rules? And, well, actually, just to finish annual work plan, that lets the elected officials know what you will be working on so that when they receive your recommendations, they'll be prepared to move ahead with those.
It's good to work with the planning director, have regular meetings with the planning director and some staff that you know or you think are going to be bringing things to you over the year. That way, even if you're not putting out a full work plan, you can say, okay, we're bringing X, Y, and Z to you. So,
do you have ground rules or procedures? Bylaws, you all know those. You got them in your packet. Good. You all read your meeting packet ahead of time. Come prepared. You know, opening the packet as you walk in the door. You know the story about the staff, the guy that never reads his packets. The staff, like, twined it up with tape so he came in the door. None of those here. Okay. I think we've covered the rest. So for your meetings, ensure quorum's here. Make sure that the staff reports are available so that your public who can come to your meeting knows what it is. Make sure that everybody's there, that you have all the materials. Good. And for the chair, just for the chair, make people feel at ease. Enforce the rules of procedure. Treat people fairly. Run the meeting so that you're not going around and around, so that you keep moving. A timed agenda can be helpful to keep things on track. And make sure that you know the issues, that you have the right people in the room, that you have certain expertise. Work closely with staff to set the agendas. Make sure you have what you need. And for the planning commissioner, do your homework. You're going to do this homework when? Okay, good job. When you're working with the public, here's some, and with each other, you're keeping the long-term goals in mind. Now, don't take anything personally. So if the public is disagreeing with you or you're disagreeing with each other, you're just playing a role in democracy. We're not here to take things on personally. It helps us all stay engaged in a civil process towards a greater goal of a community we want to call home. The last one is learn about planning. There's some conferences and other resources on the back here. If you're really digging what you're doing, pay attention to what other communities are doing. Go to a planning conference. Keep your mind open so that you can reach for new ideas within your community. So here's our quarterly planners forums. Gary's the one. Gary coordinates the Peninsula. When's your next one?
I believe it's April. April 20th for the.
I'll let you look for that.
Yeah.
And the short course, we have these about 20 times a year. We're doing one in DuPont on March 9th. If you want to go and see this show again, you can look on our website. So here's our, if you go to www.commerce.wa.gov, we're growth management under serving communities. Go to growth management, and then you pull up a list of topics. Here's our topics. And we're the short course button, short course on local planning, number of serving communities, growth management, and then you'll see the short course. This is our short course webpage. You can see we have a course coming up in DuPont, one in Kent. We have four on the roster right now. And so seeing it again helps. A lot of people like to see it again. These are the guidebook. You can download it right here. It's about this thick. Don't let it sit on your desk for 6 months like I did. Just try to read it. And then here's our videos so that you can work through those. Get credit is the little certificate. And there's some other specialty courses that you can do. Here's your certificate of training that once you've especially watch the Open PMA video, you can sign and hand in to Scott. Who's your staff? Scott. And then he'll have a record of your training, which will be due to renew in 4 years. That's all I got. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Any questions on?
All right. I guess with that, one item I did notice, talk to Jim, he didn't say anything about if there's any public comment items that are not on the agenda when we initially started the meeting, which we probably should. The reason I do bring that up is I think Mike Justison did hand out some information and we're going to, I think, maybe make a couple comments regarding. Well, I'll let you speak, so why don't you go ahead if you'd like to.
Good to my old friends.
Yes.
Boy, have you faced some change over the last half dozen years, I'll tell you. A lot of people here I don't recommend. A few I know. I took advantage of pulling from the web the early staff markup of the last CAO. I went through it carefully. I was very involved in the last program. And with that, I went through item by item, looking at things that have changed in the last 10 years, both science and courses. I was able to identify those per paragraph. So if you go through, it's just anything. I won't be here next to me. I'll be out of town. We can rest with that in the valley. Can you chance to read things in advance? It's always a lot of pleasure. There's been a lot of it. I'm sure it would be so follow you, those stuff you get to go through. I hope it's helpful. It's intended that way. Not critical.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, do you say you pass something out, or is that, I didn't...
Right here.
Okay.
So I guess I will...
okay, good.
Pass these around. I didn't know if it was super. And I guess with that, I don't know if anyone else with the general public is wants to go ahead and address an item that's not on the agenda. So Mr. Harvey, okay. All right. Well, I guess with that, thank you very much. I do appreciate the information. Both you coming down and spending the time. And we'll do our homework. And I guess with that, any items from the good of the order?
I have one thing.
Yes.
The binder that you have in front of you has all of your email information in there and how to access to the new county email that we provided for you.
Okay.
But there's a typo in there. On the password portion.
So my question about the reason I've been reluctant to use the county email is because I can't have it populate just on my smartphone. I have to go in and log in, and that's just too cumbersome for me. I don't want to do that. Is it still the same way, or have they gotten to 2017?
No, I'm not sure. I would have to talk to our IS department about that. Actually, so you can log in from the internet on your smartphone. You can ask an email. And so there was some discussion about whether or not they wanted to get to our phone. And I think it was that there would need to be permission, is what I was told. And of course, your phone's subject to any public disclosure request. And
well, wait a minute. It's an account, not a device. I mean, you can, the account is what gets accessed. I mean, I have a dedicated Hotmail account.
Correct.
Just for this, so I don't see.
They would need to access your device to put whatever it is on your device. So, what was the gentleman's name that you
Jim Shirt.
Jim Shirt is the one that I would follow up with if I were you. And he didn't tell me definitively. He said he would have to find out.
Oh.
I can get you his contact.
No, I'm just going to pass. I'm going to just keep this in the one that I have.
Well, I think the communication is only going to your account.
Okay, can they just forward from there?
I suppose that's up to you.
Just forward. I can just forward from there. Okay, I'll set it up to do that.
They should be able to do that through IS.
Okay. Because that's, it's, you know, it's, I won't access it if it comes to a website. That's ridiculous to have to log in. I want to see it when it comes in.
And there should be, you should be able to actually pull it up on your, I mean, if this is the Microsoft Outlook for the hosting, then you should be able to, do you have an iPhone?
No.
Well, that'll actually get easier. iPhones make it difficult. You should be able to actually program on your app, on your mail app, or whatever application you use for mail, to have it hosted through there.
Well, that's the thing that they've said before, is that we can't do that. They don't want your email out like that, which is ridiculous.
Well, I think there may be probably a miscommunication about that, because, I mean...
Yeah, I'm going to trust you, Spencer. I'll give you my phone. I like you.
I think I could hook it up on your phone pretty easily.
Okay, because I hooked all the other accounts up, but...
Can I get Jim in contact?
Okay.
But for the password portion, the A is actually an at sign.
Okay.
And what's an at sign?
Yeah. And that's just for your original sign in. You can obviously change your password so that not everyone knows what it is.
And all you do is tell Outlook what domain you go to pull information down to your...
I know how to set up an account.
Can you clarify the typo? I'm sorry. Can you clarify the typo?
Yes. So at sign.
P-L-S.
Yes.
I was just looking at sense at all.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
Trust me, I understand how it works. It's never worked right in the past, so that's why I'm asking about it now. Because I do know how to put my accounts on my phone. I have, like I said, I have five. One is dedicated to this, just for that reason, because I don't want to.
Okay. So our next meeting is?
March 7th.
March 7th? Okay. And do we have, do we know what we're chatting about?
I don't think
it was a procedure.
Yeah. Again? No.
If there's a motion to table it.
Okay. I guess I need to look at my calendar. I know I'm going to be gone for a week in March, maybe hopefully it's between then, and 1 week in April, but I will confirm that it's ours so that you can prepare. Okay. Nothing else for the good of the order? All right, well, thank you. Meeting adjourned.
I can represent a client on the site.
For those of us with a request,
to vote on it without this vote.
Here's what you can say.